It's good to see you here tonight. We trust that you'll receive a special blessing from the Lord as we consider God's word here tonight. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the first of three short passages of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the six steps, there was not the like made in any kingdom. Psalm 45, and just one verse. Perhaps you'll pick out the key word as we read these verses together. And Psalm 45, verse 6 says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Psalm 89 and one verse. Psalm 89, verse 14. "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." I'm sure God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 5 says, "And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts." That was the promise of God to Pharaoh if he refused to let his people go. And those things that God said in his word to Pharaoh because of his disobedience came to pass. And if you look at that and consider that Pharaoh was probably the greatest king of his day, Egypt was probably the most powerful kingdom of the day, you see in that statement the impotence and weakness of man in comparison to God. His son died. Every firstborn in his kingdom died. And the firstborn of every beast died because he would not let God's people go. As I mentioned, perhaps the most powerful man on the earth, raised up by God, because the Bible says that the powers that be are ordained of God. Would you say, surely God wouldn't ordain a wicked power? God ordains all powers. The wickedness comes from the heart of man. But not only was he perhaps the most powerful man, Egypt was the center of trade of that day. Remember where the Ishmaelites carried Joseph many years before? Down to Egypt. Sold him to Potiphar. Not only that, Egypt was the center of learning. If you remember when Stephen addressed the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, he told the story of Israel from its beginning up until the time of the Lord Jesus. When he got to Moses, this is what he said. "Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed." A place of learning. A place, or a man rather, ordained of God. It was also the center of satanic influence. Remember when God sent Moses to get his people to leave Egypt and to show Pharaoh how powerful he was, Moses threw down his rod. It became a serpent. You know what happened? Pharaoh's magicians and sorcerers threw down their rods and they became serpents, proving that there is power. Satan has power that you and I don't have. Well, of course, Moses' serpent ate up the other serpents. But Pharaoh would not let God's people go. He said, "Who is God that I should obey him?" Perhaps the unasked question was, "Does God know who I am?" And God met that challenge of Pharaoh. The great Pharaoh, his firstborn died because he refused to let God's people go. And it is very likely that he perished with his army in the Red Sea His power, his wealth, his accomplishments, his throne, and that was the key word in the reading, perished, as do all earthly thrones. May I ask you tonight, what is your throne? Oh, you say, we don't have thrones today. Well, you may not call it a throne, but on what do you depend for your life here and your eternal life? Well, you say, I'm an ambitious person. Oh, there are lots of people that are ambitious. They want to get to the top rung of the ladder. Most of them don't know what to do when they get there because there's nothing else to do. If the climbing of the ladder is their goal, if that's their aim, it doesn't produce satisfaction. Perhaps you say, my possessions, my home, my business, my cars, my land, these things give me satisfaction. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What do you have today? What is your possession that you think is more valuable than your soul? Pharaoh had it all. A worldly saying. But like the rich young ruler of the Gospels, it could be said, one thing thou lackest. You remember him, he came to the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says the Lord Jesus, looking at him, loved him. But he recognized, because he is the omniscient Lord, he recognized what this man's need was. So he told him, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, come take up your cross, and follow me. And the Bible says that he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. You know, the Lord Jesus met a man just before Calvary, very much like that rich young ruler. Doesn't say he was young, says he was short. Says he was rich. Says he was chief among the publicans. And he couldn't see over the head of the crowd. And that was one day that Zacchaeus' shortness played out to his advantage. He had to climb a tree to see Jesus. Jesus mercifully, knowing Zacchaeus' heart, stopped under the tree, stopped the whole multitude. I don't advise you to try that. The whole multitude stopped when Jesus stopped. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Listen to Zacchaeus, compare it with the rich young ruler. Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Jesus didn't even have to ask him. He found someone to replace his love for money, for gold. Listen to the Lord Jesus' commendation. Salvation, today, salvation is come to this house. The rich young ruler, the Bible says he went away sorrowful. You know, if he was sorrowful that day, can you imagine what he's like today in hell? Well, you say the Bible doesn't say he's in hell. That's true. But I think telling the story, the Bible, God the Holy Spirit would probably have told us that he responded wisely, but he didn't. And if he didn't, and if he's in hell today, he'll never have his property again. He will never have peace. And he will never have hope again as long as he lives. We read about Solomon's throne. Solomon was in wealth the greatest king who ever lived. Solomon was also raised up of God. He was David's son, great David's son. He was told that Solomon, David was, would be king. And so Solomon was prepared. And, you know, Solomon began so wisely. A young man, not knowing how to rule right, he prayed to God. God said, I'll give you anything you want. Blank check. All the zeros that you want. You can go to Fox News and get that ticker that they've got behind there and see how many zeros there are in a trillion. That's what God said to Solomon. Of course, he didn't say check. Bigger than any check you or I could write or anybody else. And Solomon said, I want wisdom and understanding. I want to know how to rule these people righteously. And God said, I like that, Solomon. I'll give you what you asked for, and I'll give you what you didn't ask for. I'll make you the richest man who ever lived, and I'll make you the wisest man who ever lived. But, among other things, Solomon married 600, 700 wives and had 300 concubines, and they did exactly what God predicted they would do. They turned Solomon away from God, and they turned him to their idols. And Solomon, who began well, ended very badly. Pharaoh's throne was an evil throne, allowed by God, blessed by God, raised up by God so that he could fulfill his purposes in him. God can do that, you know. The day outside of Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus hung on Calvary's cross was the greatest evil ever known or done by mankind. From it, through the mercies of God, come the greatest good that has ever been known by mankind. Through Pharaoh's disobedience and hard heart, Pharaoh glorified his own name, he thought, until he met God face to face. God will be glorified, sinner friend. Sin will be punished. You have been created for the glory of God, so says God's word. Sin will be punished because God's word says the wages of sin is death. Now, when God is glorified and when sin is being punished, where will you be? That will be a given day and, in some instances, at a given time. Where will you be that day? Will you be the victim of your own desires and ambition, or will you surrender to the Lord Jesus? That's why we're here tonight. That's why this meeting has been convened, so that the Lord Jesus might be raised up, might be glorified, might be spoken well up, so that you'll fall in love with him and want him to be your Lord and your Savior. And then there is Satan's throne. Do you know where Satan's throne is? Well, there's only one place in the Bible that I know of where the Bible says Satan's throne is in a special place. John, writing to the church at Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, says that that's the place where Satan's throne is, because that town was a wicked town. It had idols and temples to false gods. And there they murdered one of God's martyrs, Antipas. But Satan's throne is not in Pergamos. Satan's throne is in the heart of the unbeliever. You either serve God or you serve Satan. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And I know that sounds harsh, and I wouldn't say it except it is true. It is God's word. The Bible says he is the God of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. And in Ephesians 2:2, Paul, writing to the Christians there, said, he walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Either you're walking according to the power of God, or you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. Every heart that is darkened to the gospel, every heart that rejects the Lord Jesus, is Satan's throne. And if you die in that condition, you will go out into a lost eternity with him to the lake of fire forever. May I ask you tonight, who reigns in your heart? Does God, or does the God of this world? I know where Satan wants his throne, or rather, I know whose throne Satan wants, because Isaiah tells us that Lucifer, who is Satan, says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan said. Remember what happened to Pharaoh? Listen to what happened to Satan. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and the nations will say, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? He will be cast down. He will be abased. He will be judged And he will drag all who follow him into his final abode, the lake of fire. And if that's where you go, if that's where you're headed tonight, you are depriving God of your love and of your loyalty. And you are saying no to the greatest gift this world has ever known, the Lord Jesus. But even though there is a Pharaoh, or was a Pharaoh's throne, and was a throne of Solomon, and even though Satan rules in the hearts of mankind tonight, there is a throne of God. We read about it in Psalm 45, the throne of God. What is it like? Well, it's like the occupant. It's like God himself. It is eternal. And it is also righteous. That's what the verse said. Thy throne, O God, is forever. It is everlasting. And thy scepter is a righteous scepter. Everlasting and righteous. You know, that's so unlike the kingdoms of this world. That's so unlike Pharaoh. Everlasting, Pharaoh's is gone. Righteous, Pharaoh's was unrighteous. The word of God, as well as your experience and mine, says that this life is temporary. You know that. There's nobody in this room 100 years old. That means that everybody who was born beyond 100 years before now has died. Where are they? They're either in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or they're in hell. Life at best is very brief, the hymn writer could say. The Bible says in Psalm 103, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof is remembered no more. In many ways, it's as if you were never here. You're gone. And you carry with you all of the things that you love. No, you don't. You carry with you none of the things that you love if you die without the Lord Jesus. You leave your accomplishments behind. You leave your successes behind. You leave your material wealth behind. When you die, you brought nothing into this world. And God's word says you will carry nothing out. And not only is it temporary, it is unrighteous. It is evil. The Bible says concerning those men and women who lived before the flood, every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continuously. No righteousness at all. Righteous Jacob could say just before he died, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage. Now, he died a righteous man. But he recognized that he had not taken advantage as much as he should have the righteousness of God. Few and evil have been my days. Solomon started well and ended badly. Jacob started badly. He deceived his father with the skin of goats. Laban deceived him, gave him the wrong wife. He deceived Laban. He got most of his herd and sheep. And then he left and tried to go back home, and God met him on the way home. And during the night, God visited him, and Jacob and God wrestled together. And Jacob wouldn't let God go. Jacob was tired of being a deceiver. And he had a hold of the one who could help him, so he wouldn't let God go. And told God, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And God blessed him. God read the desires of his heart. God read, because he knows all things, that Jacob wanted to leave his old life behind. Do you want to leave your old life behind tonight? Is there something about the message, something that you heard in Sunday school, something that your wife or your husband or your friends, some way that they live that draws you, that makes you want to come to the Savior? Oh, I trust you do. Look at what happened to Jacob. He never walked the same again. The hollow of his thigh came out of joint. And Jacob limped for the rest of his life. If you come to the Savior, you'll never walk the same again. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Jacob the deceiver, now Israel, a prince with God. That's what God will do for you. Tonight, few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage. compared to God's throne, because that is forever and that is righteous. I read with you from Psalm 89, one verse. It really is the core of my message, the theme of my message. That verse says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." Justice and judgment are the habitation of my throne. What does habitation mean? It's where you live. God's throne, in God's throne resides justice and judgment. That is a fearful throne. That's a throne that you and I cannot approach because we are unjust and we cannot stand before God if he's only a God of justice and judgment. But that verse also says, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Mercy and truth. Judgment and justice are the demands that the law makes. Mercy and truth are the office of grace. Justice and judgment says sins must be paid. Mercy and truth says sin's debt is paid. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What happened between justice and judgment and mercy and truth? Something had to happen. I can't approach one. The other is offered to us freely. Calvary came. Between the first part of that verse and the last part, Calvary came. The Lord Jesus came. And he looked at the justice and judgment of God and he fulfilled it completely. The Bible says he did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And when he died at the place called Calvary, he laid down a righteous, holy life, the only life that was accepted to God. And he died for those who were unrighteous, for you and for me. And now he offers to us, to you and to me here tonight, mercy. Listen to how the hymn writer puts it. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die, but in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. The sin alights on Jesus' head. 'Tis in his blood sin's debt is paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy must dispense her store. God doesn't say, "I'm just, you can't approach me." God says, "I have mercy, and whosoever will may come." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Have you been to the Lord Jesus for mercy and grace? It is the only place that it is available. And if you die tonight, may I ask you, what throne would you stand before? A throne of justice and judgment, or a throne of mercy and grace? You still have that choice tonight. It's still available to you. The doors of mercy are still open. The call goes out. Let the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That same book, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne." You almost don't have to say anything but read it. "And him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no room for them." That means they had to come back to it. There was no place for them but the great white throne. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the book was opened. And the other books were opened, and the other book was opened, which is the book of life, and they were judged according to those things were written in the books, according to their works." You won't find anything there that you didn't send there. Having not received mercy and grace, God's books record all sin. Receive mercy and grace, the sins are blotted out, and a name is written in the book of life. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. And those who were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Everybody who is not saved is there, and you will be there if you are not saved, standing in a place where choices are forever taken away. Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I set that before you tonight. Death and life. The blessing of sins forgiven, or the curse that will come to you at the great white throne. You will live forever with the choice that you make. Because once you pass from time into eternity, the time for choosing is over. Would you turn to the Lord Jesus tonight and be saved? I want you to turn in your redemption song books to number 133. 133. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? I want you to stand, please, as we sing number 133.